How many of you know you need the Lord this morning? Amen. Woo, we need Him more today than we ever have. But you know what? His Word says He'll never leave us nor forsake us, so we have nothing to worry about. So don't walk around with your head in the sand, worried about tomorrow. Just concentrate on today. Beth has some very wise words. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's got that handled. All we have to worry about, what is it He wants me to do today? And what He wants us to do today is enjoy a wonderful dinner after church. So the preacher's going to try to be a little short. All right. I do try. She's talking about a fat guy. But I'd like to welcome you all here this morning and welcome those that are watching us on Facebook Live. You know what? When I walked in here this morning, I was running a little bit late, and I just felt kind of something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. See, somebody was here this morning wanting to steal what belongs to you. But he ain't here no more. Because there's power in the word of the Lord. If Satan comes against you, whether it's in God's house, whether it's in your house, whether it's in your car, your pickup, whatever, all you simply got to do is tell him to leave. Now, I wasn't sleeping up here. I was praying. And guess what? Guess who ain't here no more? He's not. Don't let him rob you. When we were going, we went to Colorado Springs Thursday afternoon to go get my wonderful children some school clothes. We were going to go to North Platte, but North Platte or Grand Island, but they kind of almost got wiped off the map by a storm. So we decided not to go that direction. So we get to Colorado Springs. Oh, pardon me. I don't think that one works. You want to preach? But anyway, we were going to Colorado Springs, and we had a nice trip up there. And you all know the Lord blessed us with a really nice pickup after my other one blew the engine up. And we get into Colorado Springs, and it starts to rain a little bit. So we pull into this gas station and take our luggage out of the back and put it into the back seat for it don't get wet. Everything's good. We pull out of the gas station. We get about a half a block, and here come the hail. Oh, it was hailing like crazy. Now, your pastor was trying to control his temper. I was getting angry. Lord gave me this beautiful truck, and now the devil's going to try to ruin it. I forgot for a second the devil ain't in charge of nothing. But that didn't help me at the moment. And I'm looking for another gas station before I can pull up under the awning, and there ain't nothing around. Finally, I just says, well, it was nice for a week, for 2 weeks. We get to where we're staying, and I waited for the sun to dry it off, and I went out there, and I inspected every inch of it. Didn't find one ding. See, there I was worried about a materialistic thing that the Lord had given me, and I was worried that God was going to let Satan mess it up. How quickly we forget. Amen? Amen? If the Lord gave it to me, it belongs to me. Satan can't have it. And so I worried for nothing. So now to get to the sermon, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 4. And we're going to talk about the seed and the soil. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. I love parables. Parables, I just love them because they make you stop and think. They make you do a little bit of research. And I believe that's why the Lord spoke so many times in parables. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "And when a great crowd was gathered, and the people from town, people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear, let him hear." Jesus used parables, this parable, so that we could know the condition of our hearts. He doesn't speak a whole lot about the seed, and he doesn't speak a whole lot about the sower, but he speaks a lot about the soil. And the soil represents our heart. And we're going to talk about four types of soil, which will show four different types of hearts and what each of these hearts represents. See, Jesus started this parable out with the unbelievers. People from many towns came to hear the Lord speak. In fact, there were so many of them that in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, it says that Jesus got into a boat and he went out into the water a ways, and he used that boat as a pulpit, and his voice was cast off the water for these thousands upon thousands of people could hear. And he used a parable to speak to these unbelievers. Now, as believers, we really shouldn't have to worry about this first piece of soil. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here to remind us of what Jesus has said. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "He will bring to you remembrance everything that Jesus said." So we shouldn't have to worry about forgetting what the Lord has told us. We shouldn't have to worry about forgetting what we've read in the Word of God, because we have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us to remind us. Our fleshly minds will forget, but when the time comes and we need that certain verse or that certain word, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what the Lord said. A sower went out to sow his seed. Jesus spoke about the agricultural ways of his time. Jesus always used things that was familiar to those he was speaking to. And this was an agricultural type community. So he used soil and seeds and weeds and thorns and things that these people would understand. In fact, back in the day, they used to farm a lot different than how we farm today. They would scatter the seed and then they would turn up the dirt. They had really no idea, unless they had been farming this piece of ground for a while, what kind of ground they were actually getting. They didn't really have any idea what this soil was going to produce. And so they just rolled the dice, kind of like farmers do today. Farmers have a little bit better idea of the kind of soil, but it's still kind of a crapshoot when they plant their seed, whether or not it's going to grow. Amen? As he sowed, some fell to the wayside, some fell on rocks, some fell among the thorns, and others fell on good ground. In this parable, the seed fell on four different types of soils. You know, this parable is called the parable of the sower, but it could be also called the parable of the soil, because it's the soil that is important in this parable. The wayside path where people walked and nothing could grow because the ground was too hard. That was the first kind of ground. The ground was so hard that the seed couldn't even hardly go into it. And here in a moment, we'll see how Jesus explains that. And then there was the soil that was among the rocks, the rocky soil. It was a thin layer of soil. And on the ground, the seed just sprang up quickly. But it did not last because it had no moisture. It grew quickly because the sun beat on those rocks and the rocks gave the seed warmth, and the seed needed that warmth to grow. And once it grew, it ran into the problem that it had no water. And so it withered and it died. And then there was a thorny soil. Some could say that that soil may have been too fertile. It was too fertile, and it allowed the thorns to grow so thick that it would strangle the seed. When the seed would start to come up, those thorns would come around of it. Any of you guys ever dealt with vine weed? Whoo! You can't kill it. You got to kill the ground. That's how powerful it is. And it'll grow about anywhere. But you know what? There's such thing as spiritual vine weed. But unlike natural vine weed, I know somebody who can kill it. The Lord can kill it. He can make it disappear. But this vine weed is the world, and it wants to choke you, and it wants to kill the life out of your spirit. And then it describes the good soil. It's both fertile and it's weed-free. It's the perfect soil. It's got good conditions. It's productive. And it says that it will return an increase of 100-fold. What farmer would not want a 100% return on his investment? I know one that would. Isn't that right, Don? You'd like a 100% return on your investment. But yet he plants his wheat, and he takes good care of his soil, and leaves it up to the Lord to determine what kind of crop he would get. But he knows the soil that he's planting his seed in. And then it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. This wasn't a call for everybody that was standing on the beach that day. This was a call for those who were spiritually inclined to hear God's word. There was many that were on that beach that day on the shores that didn't have no clue at what the Lord was talking about. And so the Lord says, for those who have ears, let them hear. He was speaking of spiritual ears. And that's how we need to hear. We need to hear with our spirit. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, we're not going to hear Him with these things that hold my glasses on. We're going to hear Him with our spiritual ear. We can't become tone deaf to that, because without our spiritual ear, we cannot hear. And then Jesus goes on to explain the parables in verse 9 through 11. And when His disciples asked Him what this parable meant, He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed that Jesus is speaking about in this parable is the word of God. And the majority of the people that were on the shoreline could not understand it, because their ways were not God's ways. Their thoughts were not God's thoughts. But you see, the disciples, it was their desire to do godly things. It was their desire to become more informed and know God more personally, so they could understand what Jesus was saying and they could understand the parable. But for the majority of the people out there on the shores, they had no clue as what Jesus was saying. You know, in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, Jesus used parables 46 times. Parables were important to Him. And the reason is, like I said a moment ago, it makes us stop and think. If we truly want to understand what Jesus is trying to say in these parables, then we got to do a little work. And the Holy Spirit will interpret it for us. You know, the Bible, if you're a person who loves to read, I love to read. The Bible has it all. It has mysteries. I used to be a big fan of the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew mysteries. Man, you want to read a good mystery, go to the Old Testament. And then I used to love Louis L'Amour westerns. In fact, I used to set my science book up on the desk like this, and I'd have me a Louis L'Amour paperback in front of it. Teacher thought I was the most studious person in the whole class until it came time to take the test. He said, Larry, I just don't understand it. I see you studying and studying. Are you having trouble comprehending the questions? I had to finally tell the truth, because the Louis L'Amour book slipped off my desk. And he found it. And so, yeah, I wasn't studying. But as I studied the Bible, you know, Goliath and David didn't have six shooters. But what was more exciting to see David slay that giant with nothing but a sling and a stone. It's better than any old six-shooter Western shootout I ever read. The Bible and the parables especially tell us so much, and they're exciting to learn. Every time the Lord gives me a clear vision of what a parable means, I'm like, wow. I did not see that there. I've seen everything but that. But see, because I'm searching for God and I'm searching godly things, then God shows me what these parables are, the same way that Jesus was doing for the disciples. I can almost picture some of those people out there on the shoreline as Jesus was speaking in this parable. I can almost see what some of them were thinking, like the farmer. The farmer probably thought, he's telling me that I have to be more careful in the way I cast my seed. I guess I have wasted an awful lot. The politician probably was thinking, he's telling me that I need to begin a farm education program to help the farmer more efficiently cast their seed. This will be a big boost in my re-election campaign. The newspaper reporter probably thought, he's telling me that there's a big story here about the bird problem and how it affects the farming community. That's a great idea for a series in the newspaper. And then the salesman was probably thinking, he's encouraging me in my fertilizer sales. Why, I could help the farmer more than he knows if he would only use my product. But see, none of them could understand the spiritual meaning until Jesus explained the key to them. And the key was the seed is God's word. See, they thought he was talking about farming, when in fact, he was speaking about the importance of not only reading God's word, but understanding God's word. And that, in effect, is done by what kind of heart do we have? What kind of soil is our heart? Is it hard like the pathway? Is it full of thorns? Or is it the good soil, the soil that soaks up the Word of God? If you miss the key, you miss the whole parable. If you think the seed represents money, you miss the parable. If you think the seed represents love, you miss the parable. If you think the seed represents hard work, you miss the parable. If you don't understand the key to the parable, you don't understand it at all. We can imagine what different people in Jesus' audience might have thought when he taught this parable with no explanation. The only way to understand the parable is to understand the key. And the key is, the seed is God's word. And not only must we soak it in, but we also must protect it, because somebody's there trying to steal it. As I spoke about, I don't like to speak about him much, but it's important that we do, that we understand that he is real. Satan don't want you to have this seed planted in your good soil. He wants to steal it. And for all the unbelievers that do hear God's word, Satan is right there to snatch it from them. See, that's what happens on that pathway soil. That soil is so hard, they hear the word, but they reject it, so it is taken from them. Satan don't want you to have it. He don't want your unbelieving family to have it. He don't want your unbelieving neighbor to have it. He's there to steal it. So let's talk about the soil for a minute. In verse 12 through 15, Jesus said, "The one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they have not believed and be saved. And the one on the rock are those who went, when they heard the word, received it with joy, but these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." So there's the four different soils that Jesus is talking about. And in verse 12, he says the heart, the hard soil, the wayward soil. It's like a hard heart. Some people's hearts are so hard that they won't accept the truth. And because they won't accept the truth, then there is no salvation for them. And then the word is taken from them. But that doesn't mean, I don't believe that that means that the word is taken from them for good. See, the Holy Spirit can work on that hard heart, and He can plow that hard heart, and He can churn it up and turn it soft and make it good, productive soil. It may take a while, but see, we should never give up because the Lord can do an amazing thing. You know, I've said this a lot of times when I was a child growing up and as a young adult. If I would have told people I was going to grow up to be a preacher someday, they would have been better off in their minds to take every penny they had to Vegas, put it on the crap table on one roll. That's about how much chance they gave me to do this. It's about how much chance I'd have gave myself to do this. We're not in control. God is. And so these hard hearts, even though they reject, that isn't the end of the story. We still need to pray for them, and we still need to help them when we are given the opportunity. Then the second soil represents a shallow heart. They had a good seed. They had a warm environment. They had a joyful reception of the word, and they received it eagerly. None of these things were a problem. They failed when things got difficult. Oh, they heard the word and they believed the word and they were excited about the word. And then the first time they were tested, or the first time they had to go through a trial, they gave up. I have a family member that don't understand how God allows bad things to happen to good people. He doesn't understand. That's not the way it works. That's how Satan wants him to believe how it works. But there's a saying that says there is no testimony without the test. How can we give a testimony if we are never tested? And every time that we're tested, the Lord requires us to do but one thing, and that is trust in Him. And if we trust in Him, He brings us out on the other side, and then we have the testimony. But see, these people, they liked all the lovey-dovey stuff. They liked all the good stuff, all the promises. But they forgot the part where Jesus said that we would be persecuted in His sake. They forgot the part where Jesus said that life could become difficult at times. When Jesus said that we would have to bear our own cross. See, that's why it's so important that if you're going to stand up here or if you're going to go out there and tell people the gospel, you got to tell them the whole gospel. Jesus is a loving God. He is a caring God. He is a merciful God, but He is also a vengeful God. He is a God that is jealous. He is a God that wants you all to Himself. So we have to make sure that we're not preaching just prosperity. You got to put the fire and brimstone in there with it. That's why it's so important that we listen to the Holy Spirit, because He'll tell us when to preach the prosperity, and then He'll tell us when to preach the fire and the brimstone. And then He'll mesh it all together to where the unbeliever or the new believer can understand it and accept it for what it is. But see, when all they hear is just the good stuff, and then something bad happens, they're gone. And then the third is the thorns. What happens there is we hear the word, we believe the word, we accept the word, we're excited about the word, and then over time, we start looking back at the world. We start looking back at those old things. We forget that we're in a daily battle with our flesh. And then over time, those worldly things become more important. That money, that big house, that prized job becomes more important than God's word. And all those things of the world, they grab a hold of the seed and they choke it until there's no breath left in it. And then we come to the final seed, the good seed. Every single one of us was born with a dead heart. Our heart was not for God. It was only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the grace of our Father that the Holy Spirit worked and churned our heart into good soil. But see, we have to protect this soil. Because if we don't, Satan's going to drop a couple seeds of vine weed, and that's all it takes. And it will destroy that good soil. And our good soil cannot only be productive for us, it can be productive for our community. A farmer goes out and he plants 1,000 acres of corn. He's not keeping that 1,000 acres of corn to himself. He is providing a answer to a need. He's feeding people. And we can do that exact same thing, but we must protect our soil. You ever pulled out a weed and it seemed like you just pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled, and when you finally got it out, the darn root was this long? That's how our roots should be. Because our plant will continue to grow, and as it grows, it'll leaf out. And then it'll have fruit here and fruit here, and then it'll branch out a little bit more. You got more fruit and more fruit. If we are not bearing fruit, then there's something wrong with our soil. And we need to step back. And nowadays, farmers have agronomists. Did I pronounce that right? I know it's agronomy. Agronomy. No? Agronomy. I used to work for Grainland. You would think I would know this. But they go out and test your soil, and they'll take a sample, and they'll send it to the lab, and they'll tell you how much iron you got and how much this you got and how much that you got. We have an agronomist too. I ain't going to try it. And that is the Holy Spirit. He tells us when we have not enough of this and too much of that. If you're too much in the world, He'll tell you. If you're not enough into God's Word, He'll tell you. And if we pay attention to Him, like the farmer pays attention to that man who comes out and takes his soil sample, then the soil will stay productive. And our fruit will be, we will feed the multitude just like Jesus did. And that's what we got to strive for. And I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to have good soil without a little manure on it. You got to have a little manure. That manure is going to smell for a little while. But after a while, you don't notice it anymore. I love the fact that I used to work for Don because I get so many stories out of it. I used to clean the pig barn, and I would take the manure out to the wheat field and spread it. And Don would say, put it over there because it's kind of light over there. The wheat's not growing quite as good. And I remember the last summer I worked for him, I put a lot of it on the north field around this curve. It was kind of sandy ground there. The wheat wasn't doing so good, so we put it all down there. And then the next fall, or the next summer, I go out there, and you can see how much greener that weed is, how much taller it is than the rest of it. And I'm thinking, man, he knows what he's talking about. But it was that nasty, stinky fertilizer that allowed that soil to be re-enriched and that wheat to grow so big. And so what is this fertilizer? This fertilizer is our trials and our tribulations. They don't smell good. We don't really want to bathe in them. But if we accept them for what they are, and we allow them to soak down into our soil, and we allow God to work us through them, when we come out on the other side, we come out like that good green, good brown tall wheat. But we couldn't have been that good tall brown wheat that would give us 4, 5, 6 more bushels to the acre unless we had the manure spread. We'll speak more about manure next week. I'll let you dwell on that for a little while. I'm not joking. We're going to talk about manure and fertilizer next week. So let us remember that we benefit from seeing bits of ourselves in all four of the soils. Because at times we do have all four types of soil in our heart. But thanks be to God that we have a Holy Spirit that can tell us when our soil is starting to become so hard that His seed, which is His Word, cannot penetrate. And then He's there to remind us that when we start looking back at the things of the world and it starts to choke us out, the Holy Spirit says, no, this ain't for you. And He cuts it off of us and puts us back on the right path, and our soil becomes good again. We have a responsibility. Those four young men that I'm going to baptize next week, that church has a responsibility to them. I have a responsibility to them that they don't become like the second. The rocky ground, that they get excited and they accept the word, but there is no growth because the church wasn't there to help them grow. We have a responsibility. Even though they don't come to this church, you have that responsibility. We all have that responsibility. And it's a responsibility that we can't take lightly. We have to remember that the difference in each of those categories was not the seed. It was not the sower. Those two never changed. It was the soil that changed. And so we have to think when we go out to minister to the lost, that's why God tells us it's not our job to nourish the seed. It's our job to plant the seed. The Holy Spirit will do the nourishing. And so we are like the old farmers of the Bible. We're not sure what kind of ground we're planting our seed in. But we have faith and we have trust in God that if we plant the seed where He tells us to plant it, He'll take care of the rest of it, and then He'll call us back when it's time to harvest. And so we don't think, well, there's Joe Smith. I see him at the liquor store every day. I see him at the bar every Saturday night. There ain't no sense in going to talk to him. But yet the Holy Spirit's sitting there beating you over the head, go talk to Joe Smith. We need to go talk to Joe Smith. We don't know what his heart is. We don't know what kind of soil he has. And even if he has that hard, compacted, been rolled over with a steamroller a dozen times, it does not matter. Because the Holy Spirit can make His way through any soil, and He can make any soil productive. But see, we want to get in the way. We want to say, no, we're Jonah. No, I ain't going to go mess with them people. They're wasting my time. God don't waste our time. We listen to Him. Amen? And then we also need to ask ourselves this simple question, what kind of soil am I? Sometimes that can be a tough question. But if we answer it honestly, God promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That also means that if our ground starts to get a little hard or some weeds start to infest it, if we recognize it and we are truthful with ourselves and truthful with Him, He'll come in there and clean it out and put us right back to that good, fertile, fruit-bearing soil. This parable invites action so we may benefit from all of God's Word. His seed sack never runs out. You know, them farmers get out there planting and they got a little computer thing telling them when their planter's empty and they got to stop and they got to refill it. And we got to do the same thing. But see, God's supply of seed never runs out. So, do yourself a favor. Do your neighbor a favor. Every once in a while, if you don't feel like you're... There's only two reasons we're not bearing fruit. One is we're not doing it right. Something is hindering us. And the other is God may have just given us a little rest. We can tell the difference. We can tell the difference. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of telling us when we're not doing right. Conviction's a tough thing. Boy, he spends a lot of time with me. Yeah. But that's okay. Because he's teaching. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we just pray, Father, that you give us the desire to stop and evaluate our soil. And when our soil begins to be overgrown with weeds and thorns, Father, we just pray that we will be in a position to hear the Holy Spirit and that we would acknowledge this and we would allow you to come in and clean up that soil, that this soil that we have in our hearts may be productive and bear much fruit, that you may be glorified, Father, not that we may be glorified. Father, remind us, Lord, that when you send us out into the world to share your gospel, it's not for us to say who we share it with, but it's up to us to follow your direction. For you know the heart of all man. And Father, it's your will that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. And so let us be totally committed to you, that we would be willing to go anywhere and to anyone that you direct us to. Father, let everything that we do in our lives be done to glorify you and to further your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.